This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Friday. It's 4 p.m. Eastern. The trade deadline has come and gone. It's Haley Salvey and Sean Gentile here with you for a quick pod. We promised we'd be here if something big happened. A lot of the day was window dressings, work around the edges. But the reason we're here, Sean, the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks maybe saved the trade deadline, saved the day for people who had to be on television for 12 hours. Vegas acquires Tomáš Hertl at a salary retention at $6.75 million and 2 third-round picks. San Jose gets David Edstrom, who was Vegas's first-round pick in 2023, and a 2025 first. That's the big deal of the day. Sean, what do you think?
It seems like only an hour ago that I was finishing up my Andrew Peak trade grade, and I found out that the Hertl trade, which like nobody saw coming. I think people could sense maybe that specifically nobody saw that coming. We didn't know that Tomáš Hertl was going to get traded today, but everybody should have had a sense. We talked about this a couple days ago.
Yeah. That Vegas was quiet.
They were quiet and they had Alec Martinez in the chamber as far as long-term injury reserve was concerned. I think that should have put everybody on alert. Obviously, Hertl is also on LTIR, so, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, the plan is to play in the regular season, apparently, but we shall see. We should have known this was coming. I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that we have something to talk about. Congratulations, by the way, to James Duthie and John Buchagras and all the guys that had to run TV shows today, but man,
Duthie was about to start like juggling knives on national television.
Literally, yeah.
There's something awful.
This is what it's about. This is why people care about the NHL trade deadline. This is why everybody has six-hour TV shows and why we do trade grades and why there's everybody mobilizes around this time of year is for the possibility that something like this could happen. Mm-hmm. You could have a brand name player move to a brand name team as this paradigm shifting power dynamic, you know, altering move that happened right in front of us. Cause that's what this is. Like, I hope everybody has that kind of perspective on this. Like Tomáš mm-hmm. Hertl is a game changer. Yep. He's a difference maker and he fits in on Vegas like very a well. Glove, right? Mm-hmm. Like on some teams, maybe he would be less crucial, not there. Because he fits in perfectly as a 2C, and they're kind of short on offensive weapons in their top six. Like that's like if you're looking at them and say like where could they fail? You're going to say that it's because there's a series where they don't have enough goals, and then they went out and got it. They did it again, and I think, man, from a storyline standpoint, it couldn't get much better.
Mm-hmm. It's a stunner for a few reasons because like Tomáš Hertl was not on the radar. Like he wasn't on big boards. He wasn't the number one guy left on the board. Like when I saw this, you know, I was on the radio and people were like, how's your deadline day? I was like, I was at HomeSense and texting our producer being like, so we're good. We don't have to do this today. And then this came, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to get ready to kind of dive in on this. And I think what makes this, you know, obviously the Golden Knights give up a lot in their best prospect in another first round pick, but they're getting Tomáš Hertl at 17% retained. So they're getting him for around $6 million until 2030. Like this isn't just juicing up for the deadline. Like they've got a legitimately good top six center with versatility who can score for the next several years at a more fair rate. I'm not saying he was overpaid in the $8 million range, but like that deal is going to age better at $6 million than it was at eight and change, right? 100%. So this is great for Vegas. I love it for the Sharks. I love the return. Like I think the Sharks end up popping off as one of the winners among the sellers of the trade deadline as well. And we were going into the deadline looking at the Sharks and saying they have a lot to sell, but not a ton in value. And they end up probably getting like pound for pound the best return of mm-hmm. a seller because it's not a conditional first and it's not a mid-level, maybe he'll make it, maybe he doesn't prospect like in the Jake Guentzel deal, which we can get to in a few minutes. But like, this is a first round pick in the best prospect. I think somebody has, like, I think the best prospect that's been moved at this deadline. So I think it's a win for both sides.
It's also a big win for Tomas Hertl. And I think you kind of alluded to that. Like that is the lens that we've been looking at him through for the last couple seasons is like, boy, that sucks, right? That sucks.
Because we should mention he had a full no move clause too.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, means he signed the big deal. Like they were on their way down the hill whenever he signed it in the first place. That was actually a deal that was done before Mike Greer took over. That was that was done with an interim GM in San Jose, right? So that's a weird situation. And I think the thought that I had anytime I would look at the Sharks stats or whatever, you're like, boy, that's a bummer for Tomas Hertl because he is 30 years old and signed for a gazillion years, and he's on a team that's going to be at the forefront of the tanking battle for the next few years. It looks like, and then all of a sudden things shift. You know, that's how Vegas works.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest winner, you said this in the trade grade, are the Vegas Golden Knights because they beef up again. And this is on top of already adding Anthony Mantha and Noah Hanifin, which we've already talked about. And you went on your big rant about essentially don't hate the player, hate the game. And it's true. Like if you have something to complain about the league rule, not the fact that Vegas Golden Knights are willing to put their chips in the middle every year. If you go down the list, there's a tweet going around right now of like, here's where all of Vegas's first round picks over their existence are. And like pretty much all of them are somewhere else. And guess what they have for it is multiple cup final appearances and a Stanley Cup. They've only been around for
years. It's not illegal for other teams to do this kind of stuff, right?
Okay, so this deal didn't happen on deadline day, but it came through finally last night after both the Penguins and the Canes finished their games. It's one of these things where earlier in the day, it started becoming clear that Jake Guentzel was going to be a Carolina Hurricane. It took a while to get the return. Obviously, we know it now. It's Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith to Carolina. And I just want to give myself a pat on the back because I did say on the podcast, correct, is there a team that should get Jake Guentzel more than the Canes? And you were like, I don't think they do that. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself at this current time. And then obviously the return to the Pittsburgh Penguins, Michael Bunting. I'm calling it a conditional second. I don't know why people call it a conditional first. It's a conditional second round pick for the Penguins. It becomes a first if the Canes make the Stanley Cup final, and a conditional fifth rounder, and then three prospects. Vasily Ponomarev. Oh God.
Man,
Cruz Lucius.
Cruz
Lucius.
We have a Finn in there as well.
Kovenin. I'm so sorry.
Not bad. That's okay.
Sean, what do you think?
You're probably not going to need to commit those names to memory. Not all of them. Like the odds of all three of those dudes hitting seem like they're pretty low.
Yeah.
To go back to what we talked about yesterday, the reason I didn't think the Hurricanes were the perfect fit overall is because this isn't the kind of trade that they make. You know, we know how they operate. They don't go and get pending UFAs, and they like term, and they don't like, you know, adding big ticket items in season like that. So for them to go off the board and deviate from the formula that we've seen from them over the last few years, it was surprising, but it's also perfect because they probably did need to change things up. They needed a guy like Jake Guentzel. This is the kind of player who we've said for years that Carolina needs to add, right? You have a guy who's not just great at puck possession and not just great at the process and not just great at expected goals. That dude turns possession and expected goals into actual goals production, into production. Absolutely. And when the Carolina Hurricanes have, oh my God, those football brain took over. When the Carolina Hurricanes run into problems, it's because they can't, you know, cash in on their chances during the playoffs, right? Nobody is better than that than Jake Guentzel in the league. Very, very, very few are better at turning possession into points. And he's got a postseason track record going back to 2017 when he scored 11 goals during a cup run for the Penguins that suggests that he's the exact kind of guy that Carolina needs. I love this deal for them. And I certainly thought it was going to be the most impactful one at the deadline until San Jose and Vegas hooked up there.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see like which team benefits more, Jake, because both players are injured right now. Jake Guentzel did practice the day that he was traded on Thursday afternoon, and it seems like he's trending in the right direction. It sounds like Hurdle will play before the postseason, so he's trending in that direction as well. But it's going to be interesting to see. Are we going to see like a Canes Vegas Cup final? I think the Panthers are going to have something to say about that too. But you know, we had such a big conversation about the way that the Western Conference was beefing up, and they certainly continued to do that on deadline day. Tyler Toffoli to the Jets. I really liked that deal for them.
Yeah,
but like we saw the East get involved in a more meaningful way as well with this Jake Guentzel deal as one of the big ones. I think as it relates to the Penguins, I think understanding that Guentzel's hurt and that Carolina's isn't a big rental team. He didn't sign a new contract and that they're going to get what, 3 months of the hockey Guentzel. Like keeping that in mind, I still find the return to be underwhelming. If it was just a first round pick, then I'd be like, okay, at least they got a first. But like, we don't even know if they did. Because again, the Florida Panthers exist. The Boston Bruins, while they didn't do much at the deadline, they've been good. Like, is it a shoe-in that the Canes are going to make the cup final? I don't know. They haven't the last few years. Mind you, they haven't had a Jake Guentzel.
Right. Also, I kind of like them trading for Evgeny Kuznetsov earlier in the day. Like he's been absolute garbage this season. But like, whatever, shake it up, try something different. Like he's top six when he's right, you know. Still, I on the Pittsburgh end of things, I think this is the absolute bare minimum that Kyle Dubas could have gotten back and not had it be like a pitchforks and torches moment here in Pittsburgh, PA, right? Like it was just good enough to say like, okay, this kind of makes sense. That's a terrible system that doesn't have many high-end prospects, and then it only gets kind of worse from there, right? Like
they didn't even get one of Carolina's top five prospects.
I agree. It's not good, and it's part of, and I think part of it is with the way the deadline kind of unfolded when we knew that there was this like run up to, okay, they're going to trade Jake Guentzel. They're seeking offers for Jake Guentzel. And that just led to this, I think inflated expectations to a point where you're talking about players who never were going to move for Jake Guentzel, especially when we found out that he actually wanted to go to free agency. So if you're talking about Jonathan Lekker-Amaki in Vancouver, or Carolina's got
Max and Blake.
In the defenseman, the Russian defenseman, his name escapes me. Yeah. Who everybody loves. Everybody loves it. Like it's never gonna be
Morrow. Is that Morrow?
Morrow's the other one. Yeah. You know
the player Vasily Ponomarev.
Gabe Perreault on the Rangers. Like that. Like these are pipe dream. Mm-hmm. You know, players that were never gonna manifest as the actual return for Guentzel. So I think they suffer from that too. But the return is absolutely underwhelming.
Yeah, the player Ponomarev, I'm so sorry if I'm not saying his name correctly. It seems like he's actually been playing quite well as a pro. Like he's been playing better as like a American League guy than maybe some of the other like top rated prospects have. So that's something that, maybe something to keep an eye off. Maybe he ends up being a bit more of a sure thing in the NHL, but I don't think they got anyone who's like, oh yeah, he's going to be a top six NHL.
And Alexander Nikishin is the Hurricanes prospect. He was like a consensus top 10 league wide. He's a defenseman and he's breaking records in the KHL. Like those are the kind of names that I think very online Penguins fans maybe con themselves into thinking that they were going to be in the discussion for, and it was just never going to happen for all those factors that you brought up at the start of the conversation.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, so there were obviously other deals on the deadline, and we don't need to go through all of them. We really don't need to like litigate how we feel about Matt Dumba for a fifth or Anthony Duclair to Tampa, things like that. Although I do like that Duclair gets to go to Tampa, like for him personally, I think that's great. Totally. The Devils were kind of interesting today. As we mentioned, Tyler Toffoli goes to the Winnipeg Jets for a second round pick and a third. They also acquire Jake Allen from the Montreal Canadiens at 50% retained. Allen has one more year left on his deal. So they get Jake Allen at $1.925 million for one more year, and then they move Vitek Vanacek to San Jose. So clearly, Devil saying, well, Toffoli's not going to re-sign. We're going to get what we can, but we also like can't go into another season with Vitek Vanacek.
If nothing else, we have Jake Allen to fall back on, which like, you know, if there's
worse plans start again. With the Flames, we know that they were interested in Jacob Markstrom, or we've heard that they were interested in Markstrom. Maybe that gets kicked to the summer. And as you said, Sean, worst case scenario, Jake Allen is an upgrade on the way that Vitek Vanacek has played this season. The other deal that I liked, and it's not the same, like I liked what the Panthers have done at the deadline. That team is the number one team in the league standings right now, and it looks like they've gotten better. But like one just kind of nice story, Kyle Okposo gets traded to the Panthers for a conditional seventh, which upgrades to a fifth if the Panthers make the cup final. The Sabres wanted to like do well by their captain. Pierre LeBrun said that Florida was his destination of choice. It's just kind of nice, especially if this is going to be his last season. He kind of gets to go and make the playoffs for what, the first time in like 9 years?
That sounds right. I mean, he's been through a ton during his career. He had some concussion issues, plenty of stuff that he's fought through, right? So to see him end up in a spot that he loves and with a team that's really, really good and also could use a player like him, I think is pretty solid. I love Toffoli to the Jets too, and I think that's almost more than like we're kind of conditioned to be underwhelmed by the work Winnipeg does at the deadline. Like they're not going out there and getting big fish. So I think, you know, coming into the day, you're like, oh, it'd be nice to see Winnipeg go out and get like a middle six winger. They could use one of those. And they did better than that. Like Toffoli he's going to score 30 goals again, and they needed to do something to keep pace with the rest of the Western Conference. And I think they managed that. They also kept them away from Vancouver too, which is always a consideration.
So speaking of the Canucks very quickly, because we wanted to make this a quick reactions pod, are there teams that did not do anything today that you were surprised or disappointed by? Because I think of the Canucks, obviously they did some deadline work and they did some work before this moment. They get Lindholm, they extend Elias Pettersson, which isn't a deadline move, but it's a win for fans in that organization. But Phil Kessel doesn't sign and they're not in on, you know, maybe they were in on them, but they don't land Gensel or Toffoli or even any of the like fringe guys. Vancouver was super quiet. Boston was super weird. Were those kind of the two when we're thinking of like playoff teams who didn't do a whole lot, those are the two that kind of stand out to me.
I know Canucks fans are livid, particularly over them not getting Toffoli, which is understandable, right? But Boston to me is like the real head scratcher because they had defined needs. Like they needed a left shot defenseman, they needed some kind of presence in their forward group, and they got none of that. They traded for Andrew Peak, who's, you know, was getting scratched by the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's a right shot physical defenseman. You know, that's not like, is that what you want when you're if you're a contending team that also has areas where you need to improve? That's just kind of a baffling one. He also makes $2.75 million for the next two seasons, so it's like you can see like maybe that's almost a future focused move. Like maybe they can, you know, get him back on track, and then they have some nasty, you know, snarly right shot D, which is great, but it doesn't help them much right now. So they're the head scratcher of the day for me.
And Derek Forbert went from day to day yesterday to done for the season. Or he's been placed on LTIR and now he's likely out for the year. So that maybe explains a bit of the peak situation, but Forbert's a left. So it's still a little bit And they got Pat Maroon as well.
Either way, if your two big deadline additions are, you know, Pat Maroon, who's great dude and great teammate and all that, but doesn't bring much to the lineup anymore, and then, you know, a seventh D, like, it's a little bit of a head scratcher.
All right. I think those are the main teams, Sean. I don't know if there was any, I mean, I think that what the Leafs did was a little bit like, eh.
Yeah, we need to talk about them.
But we don't have to talk about that again, I don't think. All right. So that was the trade deadline. Thank you to the San Jose Sharks and Vegas Golden Knights for saving the day. It's been a while since I've been like taken aback. Honestly, I was like very surprised by the Hurdle trade. So it made the day a little bit more fun. Forced us to do a bit more work, but that's okay. Thanks everyone for listening to this quick recap pod with myself and Sean. Ian Mendez, Mark Lazarus, Chris Johnson, and Pierre LeBrun will break down the trade deadline on the next episode of the Athletic Hockey Show on Monday. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next Thursday with me, Sean, and Max.